It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're coming to you from the beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, FreedomsPhoenix.com studios. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. Today we're going to, it's Tuesday, it's Twitter Tuesday. You know, we have Drew Phillips is going to be in here in a little bit after he, you know, whenever he gets here. You know, it's one of the things you got to put up with these young guys, I'm telling you. You know, they're in this revolution. They're so busy. They can't, the last minute, they still got one more tweet to do. And then they go and they run and they come over. And we got Shelley Roach on. She is the tweeter queen on Freedom Watch, Fox Online with Judge Napolitano, and she has a lot of other interests in her main thing. How many minds can I free using my keyboard? Yeah, and we'll talk with her in just a little bit. Next hour, we have Chris Simcox. Now, Chris Simcox, you know him from Minuteman fame and so on. Well, he's announced he's running against John McCain. And he wants to talk about it. I've known Chris for a long time, interviewed him, had him on Charles' show. We spent a lot of time together. And I tell you, you know, he created this, like, you know, army around an issue, and what kind of impact can they have from around the nation on this one race against one guy that they don't like very much, and that's John McCain. So what kind of impact is it going to have, and what issues is he about? You know, what stance is he going to take on things that are important to freedom lovers? I don't know, but we're going to find out, and we're going to get him on tape, and it's going to be archived on the internet forever and ever and always. Amen. And the thing is that, you know, there's been plenty he said in the past already, so it'll be interesting. He spoke at the Arizona Breakfast Club Saturday and got a dose, you know, but he put himself up there and, you know, the questions were asked. Well, we're going to ask him again today, and we'll see what we get out of him. Nice enough guy, been, you know, sharing time with him over the years, but we definitely have a different perspective, but we'll get along. It'll be a great show. Now, today I wanted to make sure, you know, we got a short segment here, but let's go and say hello to Shelley. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
I'm more than a wonderful, and I'm so glad that you got to spend time with us. Where are you right now?
Right now, I am in Maryland.
Maryland. Now, I imagine you can't be too far from the Fox studios and Fox Online. This is very interesting that you have a place. I mean, I got to tell the audience, you know, we'll put pictures up on the archive here of this show on the entry on freedomsphoenix.com or Declare Your Independence link to this archive. But the thing is, Shelley's not hard to look at. I mean, you know, if you have an opportunity, put her on TV. Yeah, put her up there. Judge Napolitano, Shelley, you know, gee, I wonder where my eyes are. Now, the thing is that, you know, this, I would imagine that you got a lot of young fans.
I don't know. I guess I might have a few.
Yes, you do. Come on. Don't be modest. Now, the thing is I can see the benefit for Fox doing this. But my question is, why would they do this? You know, and we'll come back with that. We're kind of short on time. I want you to think about this. Why would Fox News do this? And then they decided to do it, but they just did it online. You know, you're not on the Fox network. You're on Fox Online. So I'm wondering how this came about. Well, we'll get back to Shelley when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and how you can use the internet, how it has been used to free millions of minds. It's penetrating, and it takes someone like Shelley Roach to make it happen. And we'll be right back. Talk to it here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Shelley Roach in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, we're back here on Freedom's Phoenix Studios. Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and I just got Shelley's picture up. If you go to the freedomsphoenix.com, you look at the top archive, the top story there for the show, go down, you'll see BEA, beautiful. And, you know, I tell you, Shelley, and, you know, I really want to hear this story about how it is that Fox Online all of a sudden decided that they wanted to have a libertarian presence and their name on it. How the heck did that come about?
Well, a lot of people ask me that. And first, I should say I get a lot of comments when I post stuff about Freedom Watch, and people see that it's on Fox. They're like, oh, how can you trust, you know, Fox and blah, blah, blah. And what I always like to point out is that it's Judge Napolitano's show, and it's on the Fox network. So regardless of how we may or may not feel about Fox, the fact is it's the judge's show, and he's the one that ultimately, you know, picks the guests. He has Ron Paul on all the time. So from that perspective, you know, I think it's a really great thing. Now, the question about why Fox would do something like this.
Money.
Yeah, exactly. It's how it started is Austin Peterson, who works for the Libertarian Party, put together a list of demographics and, you know, kind of statistics about trying to show that there is an underserved audience of, you know, libertarians and liberty-oriented people.
Well,
and,
define that underserved. What does that mean, underserved? We've been underserved for decades. I mean, you know, what does that mean?
Well, I know. And you know, that there's really no programming in the mainstream media that speaks to us.
Well, what they had to show them is how large us was.
Exactly, exactly. So because of, you know, recent years and the Ron Paul movement and everything, you know, we had kind of a more visible critical mass. So he was able to pitch them on an idea of, you know, creating some sort of programming that was for this audience. So somehow it ended up in the judge's hands, and he decided to kind of give it a try. And so that's how it started.
Well, how's it going? How do they rank it? Are they, you know, seeing all kinds of participation on the internet there? Because I tell you what does happen. I guarantee you this is one thing that happens, is they take pieces of that show that you can't get anywhere else, certainly not timely, as the issues develop quickly in Washington, and they hit YouTube and people take it and go. And that's another thing. Does Fox then, after they have this online show and all these people start to access that information, that video, and incorporate it in whatever other videos they do, they go in, no, you're not allowed, we're going to cut it out and tell YouTube to, you know, delete your video, or are they more open to it?
No, they've been pretty open, actually, so far. They don't actually, they can't officially promote any of the YouTube stuff, but they actually really want us to push the YouTube end because since it's just on their internet channel, they have virtually no budget. So, you know, they can't pay for guests, they can't pay for advertising, they have like, you know, the intern sound guy and, you know, it's really low. It's low budget, so they appreciate any help they can get as far as promoting and whatever happens on YouTube.
So they have a studio. Is it dedicated just to online, or is it part of the Fox Studios for they have some cooking show later, or what?
Yeah, it's part of something called the Strategy Room, which is you know, they have this internet channel that just streams live all day, and they have different shows that come on, and you know, a lot of it's just kind of, you know, fluff talking about entertainment or, you know,
Michael Jackson's whatever, empty house. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and then at 2 o'clock on Wednesdays, we get Freedom Watch. So we're hoping we can show that there's enough of an audience for this sort of thing that we can get it into maybe a weekend slot in the fall.
Well, what's been the response? I mean, on the internet, you can see. I mean, you can see, you know, what's going on. What kind of response are they getting?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, and it's really hard to tell beyond the YouTube view counts, the producer has a really hard time getting the number of views. So I'm always trying to get information from him, like how are we doing? But from what he's been able to gather, we usually have between 50,000 and maybe 70,000 people that watch, and then the YouTube videos usually get about that many.
Wait, time out. You know, I thought that they were getting all freaked out on when you got like 100,000 for Riley or something, or for as they're growing up when the Daily Show was going up, and they were on the network on cable and satellite. And I'm going, wait, so you're already half that with just online? I mean, well, what was the numbers that they were? I seem to remember if they got a cable show and they got 100,000 people, all of a sudden they're selling hot dogs on TV or something.
I don't know about that. I know that Beck, the Glenn Beck show, has been getting like 2 million viewers, but I think he's the most popular show on the network. So I am
50,000 is good. I don't care what they say. 50,000. But the thing is that this is one thing that we know over at Freedom's Phoenix. It is not just 50,000. Which 50,000? Which 50,000?
Right.
Yeah, my mic's cutting out too soon.
Oh.
You know, this, you know, when I whisper, you know, I go, it goes out. So now the thing is that what I want to make sure that we do is that we take this 50,000 and let's analyze them with you, because the 50,000 that you're dealing with, because you understand, you got this 50,000 and you have these out there working to learn. I mean, they have to make an effort to go online and watch this. They want to, and they're getting a 50,000. And you know there's a significant percentage of them that are keeping tracks on you guys. I mean, you know, I would imagine you got hundreds of people that are out there just, you know, what are they doing? What are they saying? What kind of response are they getting? It's opposition research. So Let's assume that you got, you know, let's say 40,000, all right? You have tens of thousands of people that have their mind freed. I mean, are certainly getting that way, and they know it. They're the ones that are calling Congress for Dr. Paul on, say, his audit the Fed bill. You know, these are the people that are learning how the system really works, and they're sharing with their friends, and you got YouTube, and it goes. So all of a sudden, 50,000 is easily, I don't know, what, twice that many, 10 times that many? I mean, we're talking, you know, over a period of a season that you're doing this, there could be a million people that have been exposed, because we've seen what's happened with little things like Aaron Russo's movie, or you have Dr. Paul's run, or you have, it just keeps growing. And Fox has to know this. So are they so mercenary that they're just, they don't care, whatever, and we'll sell them soap later? Or do you think that there may be a time when they go, whoa, time out. This is not serving our interest anymore. It's, you know, we're going to have to stop this, or we don't want them going somewhere else, kind of like a John Stossel thing. John Stossel says, look, man, I can take my, you know, football and go over here. And they go, no, we want the money to stay over here. But they just kind of, yeah, see, we're kind of sort of almost maybe, you know, brushed over the cortex of freedom a little bit with your brain, but, you know, only a little bit. So tell me what you think when you talk to these guys and the atmosphere of how you're treated there, kind of what you think the future is going to be.
Well, I think, you know, Fox is kind of trying to hedge their bets with the show. And, you know, with Beck going kind of libertarian-esque lately, and, you know, more popularity for some of these issues, like, you know, the Federal Reserve and that sort of thing. I think what they're doing is putting it out there, and, you know, if it takes off, then they can be like, yeah, you know, well, we've had the show going for, you know, 6 months already. We knew this was coming, and, you know, we're behind it. Or, you know, if it doesn't take off, then, you know, they didn't really lose much because they haven't invested a whole lot in it, except Fox specifically. Now, the judge and Ron Paul and Lou Rockwell and all those guys who are regular guests, you know, they would know that they have something, and they can pretty much
move it over to somewhere else. They'll take Shelley. Exactly. Yeah, keep Fox, keep Judge. We got the blonde, man. We're going over here to do what we want. So, you know, I mean, you always have that option. You know, that's another thing. They know that, too. You know, that's it. You know, who has the power here? Who has the power? Hey, let's get Drew in here. Hey, you know, Drew, tell me, on Freedom Watch, who has the power?
Shelly has the power.
Shelly has the power.
Jed has the power, too.
Jed has the power. You know, go ahead from your perspective, Drew. You know, having Freedom Watch on, has that, you know, changed anything in perspective of how the lamestream media, the media so last century trying to catch up, you know, how are they're going to take advantage of this, or you think they're going to bail?
Well, for me, it's difficult to watch Fox News and think that it's trustworthy, but the information that I'm getting from the show is pretty refreshing, and it's new, and it's different. It's the libertarian perspective. It's the perspective we want to hear, and I just hope that we get more of it, and actually, I hope it influences other hosts to bring this message to their shows.
Oh, that's a good point. What kind of influence have you had on the network there? You got you guys over there causing a ruckus in that little bitty studio, the little bitty online thing, and getting 50,000 people. I tell you, that's why they're not telling you. They know online you're getting 50,000 people. They're scared.
Right. Well, they did say it is the most watched show on their online, on their video site, which is a good thing.
Duh. 50,000? Yeah. Do you even know what the history is on the how many people even watch on cable? You know, just 4 years ago, you had the Jon Stewart, you know, on The Daily Show. Have you looked at the numbers to see how these shows grew and from being on air? I mean, do you have that data available?
No.
Get it.
It would be interesting to look, though, wouldn't
get it?
Yeah.
Get it. No, I already know. I mean, I remember. You know, I remember it was a big deal when Jon Stewart started surpassing O'Reilly, okay? And when that happened, all of a sudden they're going, what the heck? Now, why do you think you got, you know, that the network anchors are begging, all these cabinet positions begging to go on with Jon Stewart because he has the audience. He's a little bit liberal, you know, he's kind of on the left over there a little bit. He's entertaining, but, you know, here comes Shelley Roach and Freedom Watch. And, you know, you're going to see more of it. I guarantee it. We'll be right back here and you can talk some more with Shelley Roach on Declare Your Independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back here on Freedom's Phoenix Studios. Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You declare your independence with or without me. You don't need me. And you know what else you don't need? You don't even need a government form. I declare my independence. See how easy that was? Now, here's another independence declaring kind of person, Shelley Roach. And Shelley Roach, is that how you say it?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Now, Shelley has been around. We met, I think, in person the first time at the Revolution March in Washington, D.C. last July. And
yep.
And I know you guys, you and Trevor Lyman, you know, the money bomb guy, the guy that did the blimp and all this. I mean, you had big dreams, and it looks like a lot of it's coming true. I mean, you know, you're penetrating the matrix. You're breaking the matrix, okay? Now, break the matrix, that was, you know, it's still going. You guys are formulating. You're getting kind of, you know, geared up, trying to, you know, adapt to the market, whatever. But the concept basically was, you know, to provide an outlet for all this variety of content. I mean,
right.
So tell me kind of what the plan was.
Well, you know, we saw the need for alternative media, you know, like a lot of, like what you guys are doing, like a lot of people are doing. You know, we weren't satisfied with the coverage that we were getting on Fox News and CNN and the big guys. So we wanted to, you know, provide a way for people to get their voices heard. And, you know, if enough of us banded together and did it, then we could probably build an audience. So, you know, that was kind of where it started. And we kind of went down a few different paths trying to help with, you know, campaigns and just raising awareness and that sort of thing. And,
screw campaigns. I hate campaigns. Politics is so philosophy, but not politics. Politics, waste of freaking time. And I, you know, right after you, I got Chris Simcox. He's a Minuteman guy, you know, that's running against John McCain. And it's going to be interesting. You know, these guys, it's just like, you know, dealing with going on Freedom Watch. It's just like the, you know, the Daily Show. It's just like all these small shows and so on. They have a segment that they don't have. And that's one thing you'll have, Katie Couric comes on Jon Stewart's show, and the whole joke was what the average age of her audience was. You know, all of them had walkers. Okay, now now he's like, you know, all my guys in the audience are drinking Johnny Walker. So it's, you know, we're having fun. Now Drew is a perfect example. Here's a young guy in his 20s. He goes up to Freedom Fest, and they're there covering this, making video, having fun, and all of a sudden anybody wants to know what really happens behind the scenes at some place, you know, you go to these guys. And he wanted to ask you some questions. Go ahead, Drew.
Excuse me. Well, I just wanted to talk. I thought this idea of Twitter Tuesday because I really feel like the problem we're having, a lot of people in the Patriot Movement or the Freedom Movement aren't aware that they have a ton of outlets to share their message of freedom and liberty in many different ways. And I fear like the bad guys put out so much content on a day-to-day basis that we don't even put out a fraction of the amount of content that they do. And there's so many distractions out there that we need to do a better job ourselves of putting out more content and using these new social networking technologies to share our message. So I just wanted to ask you, Shelley, what your experiences have been in sharing your information through Twitter and other social networking sites.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right that we've kind of started getting online, and there's a smaller group of us that's, you know, pretty proficient at this stuff, and you know, we're starting to figure it out, but we need to get more people kind of up and running and learning how to use these tools and really leverage them to spread the information. You know, it's like those Verizon commercials when they have, you know, the two guys talking and then the camera pans out and you see the huge network of people behind the Verizon guy. And he's like, you know, it's all about the network. That's kind of what we're working on, trying to build.
They can hear us now.
Right, exactly. That's what each of us needs, to have that like big network of people that you can, you know, if you know, like the judge says on Freedom Watch, you know, the camera is the new gun.
You know the one thing that I saw early on, you know, libertarians remember Rachel Mills from years ago, and they did a, you know, Ladies of Liberty calendar, and a good friend of mine was one of those, and she would do really good libertarian, philosophically entertaining YouTube videos in early on, you know, during the Ron Paul Revolution. Eventually, she was hired as a communications person, PR person for the congressional office for Dr. Paul in Washington. And this happens, and there's your brunette. Now we got the blonde. Okay, so the thing is that, I mean, you can't be modest about this stuff. You take advantage of this, and the thing is that you're young, you're beautiful, you have the intellectual capacity and the technological knowledge to be able to take advantage of the philosophy that you espouse, and people will spend the extra 7.6 seconds to hear what comes out of your mouth, and once you're telling the truth, that's all it takes. These guys are toast, and I'm telling you, Shelley, they're going to start offering you your own show, they're going to start bringing you in, they're going to see you as a threat, they're going to have you come into the network, they're going to promise you the sun, the wind, the moon, and the stars, and then there will come a time where you're going to have to make a decision. Do I get the cash, you know, or I stay the principal, or I kind of fudge it on the edges and so on? Have you thought about these things?
Yeah, I never actually intended to be a visible person in the whole liberty movement. So, you know, from the beginning, this has kind of been, you know, a reluctant journey for me. But it's not something that, you know, my end goal is not to be famous or to be, you know, have my own show or to be on Fox. It's, you know, right now I think I have, you know, been given an opportunity to.
And we want to give you more opportunity. They're going to push the button. So we'll talk more with Shelley Roach and what she's going to do for us in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Hancock, Drew Phillips in studio, our own Twitter Tuesday guy, Jet Lacy on the board, and my wife Donna in there learning all the buttons. You know, and we have Shelley Roche online here from the East Coast. Now, what I'm looking for, Shelley, is an understanding that you're going to be approached. You know, what's your criteria? When you write the contract, it's going to say, you know, where's your sticking point? You're going to go, I will not violate, and I get to say what I, and I'm not your puppet, and you blah, 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 blah. I mean, what, are you thinking about these things? And if you're not, you should be.
Well, right. I mean, the bottom line is I'm a computer programmer, and that is what I love doing. And so what, you know, I definitely want to use the opportunity I have now to get the word out as much as possible. But at the end of the day, like I said before, my goal isn't, you know, to be famous or what, or have a show or make a lot of money doing this or whatever. But what I am trying to do, and this kind of goes back to the question Drew asked earlier, I'm trying to find ways of getting new people attracted to the movement through kind of peripheral issues. So, like, for example, food is a big issue right now. Food safety and genetically modified organisms and that sort of thing. And I found that to be a really good way to introduce people to freedom. And so a lot of my upcoming projects are around using technology to give people tools that will, you know, improve their lives, but also introduce them to freedom concepts in the background. And so when you talk about, you know, when you ask me that question, I've definitely thought about it, but I don't see that as, you know, the highest potential for me. I think that, you know, that would be fun maybe for a little while, but it's really not what I aspire to do.
Excellent answer. You know, because you got to keep in mind, you know, what was another high-tech person that went global? You know, Kim Komando. You know, she's, you know, her husband's one of the talk show hosts here in the Valley, and she's broadcast here, and that's, you know, where she, and it was kind of the same thing, but of course she didn't have this philosophical grounding that you do. So I bring this up because there is the Generation Next, I call. I've been around the country doing this. You know, I've been doing this revolution thing even before the revolution. And what happened, I was waiting for your generation to come. I've been waiting. We've been preparing. We've been prepping. We've been accumulating knowledge and experience and resources to help you do exactly what you're doing, what we're doing the show, what we do with our workshop, what we've done with the revolution. All of that was in preparation, and a lot of, you know, we were you 15, 20 years ago. We were you. And then all of a sudden, here comes, and on the other side, you have representing the male gender, you know, guys like Adam Kokesh. So we, you know, wrap our arms around Adam, you know, one, he's a good-looking guy, bench press 300 kind of thing. I mean, you know, dang, the boy be good-looking. And, you know, has a philosophical bent. So this is the kind of face that the bad guys are up against. And who do they put up against it? I mean, just to give an image, because it's so much about image, and but it only lasts for a nano moment. Certainly with the generation that's coming up, if you don't have a philosophy, which is the truth behind it, you are discarded. You're just another bubblehead. But that, what happens when you have a strong, vibrant image that comes up and says, I have the truth that I just give to you and I want to share with you and let's party. And all of a sudden, boom, it's an Atlas Shrugged moment. You know, all of a sudden you have an entire movement. This is a movement. And I can see where the role that you play in this. So I want to get this out on the archive and have this for all time, that you and I talked, and that, you know, to see where your head is now, because I'm telling you, Shelley, you don't see it because you're in the forest. You know, you're in the woods. You're sitting there looking at bark. You know, I'm back here looking at this from years, decades of experience looking at this. I can see what's going to happen. The bad guys are worried, and the only salvation that they have is embrace this paradigm shift. If they don't, they're going to be excluded from it. So, and, you know, and Drew is a perfect example here. Here's a guy with pent-up talent. Now, a lot of our great videos and stuff that come out of here, you know, some of the higher quality ones are, you know, whatever motivates him. And it takes a little bit, and he gets motivated, and there he goes. They cannot stop this. Now, I want to get from you now the new technologies that you're talking about, because Twitter kind of hit the world by, you know, 140 characters. I mean, how the heck can something where you put up 140 characters change the planet? you know? Well, it kind of blindsided them. So tell me what some of the other stuff coming on, tools that you think that you want to have access to, you want to use in this fight to free minds.
Well, Twitter and Facebook obviously are probably two of the most popular ones, but also there's a social networking technology. It's called Ning. It's NING.com. And you can basically create your own social network for free. And then they have, you know, you can pay for premium services or whatever. But if you go to their site and just do some searches, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of sites that are dedicated to one aspect or another of freedom or liberty or, you know, whatever it is that you're interested in. And if you start, you know, join a few of those, you know, again, you can start building your network, and it's free, and, you know, it's pretty easy.
I'm looking at it right now. It says create a new social network. Name your social network. It walks you through it. Holy moly. Now, the thing is that what happens with these social networks? I mean, first, I saw my kids. You know, I have four children, two boys, two girls, 19 to 23. Okay, so I went through this, you know, junior high school, college thing on online, MySpace, then Facebook, and all this. I'm looking at all the stuff they put up there. Pictures of friends, favorite movies, their writings. It's like the king got inside their head, can see what's going to get all their preferences, what videos they watch. You know, kind of said, you know, you guys know that the man's got all this, right? I mean, I just want to make sure, FYI. And yeah, we don't care. So I'm going, all right, you know, that's probably a good attitude. But, you know, you set up all these social networks, you put all this information in, you know, is there any fear that it's being used against you? Should you guard against that? Or, screw them, man. They wouldn't know what to do with the information anyway.
Well, you know, I try not to put out anything that's too personal or, you know, that sort of thing. But I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that I'm probably on someone's list somewhere, you know, with the kind of stuff that I talk about. And I think I'm okay with that as long as I'm not doing anything violent or, you know, illegal or whatever and trying to help spread the message.
Yeah, define illegal.
Yeah. Right, exactly, right.
I mean, you know, and you're an enemy of the state.
Right, I know. I'm sure that's true. But the other thing is, you know, with having a the bigger your network is, the more safety that affords you. So,
yeah,
you know,
if you're going to be on the list, you want to be on top of the list.
Right. So, you know, if something were to happen, you know, if someone was to, you know, come after me for something I did online, I could post a tweet, you know, and I'd have however many people, you know, I have kind of my little checklist of what to do if something happens. And, you know, I feel like there's safety in numbers, and there are enough people out there that if something were to happen, I'd be as okay as I could be.
How many people follow you on Twitter?
I think it's about 12,500.
Well, there's probably somebody in there that would, you know, let somebody know that something happened to you.
Right.
Safety in numbers. Ah, Shelley, I tell you, it's an exciting time. I mean, do you, you know, for those of us, and you're what? You're mid-20s, I would imagine?
No, I'm early 30s.
Oh, I feel so much better. A little maturity there. Right on, right on. Right on, Grandma. Anyway, so, you know, I'm glad that you have enough years experience in this. It really will serve you well, I'm sure. But the thing is that we have this generation that's coming up, teenagers now, they're coming of age, they're getting exposed to this information that was not available to me. You know, this kind of stuff, you know, the communication that we had was in the music. You know, it was, man, you want to talk underground, it was underground. And a lot of times you didn't even, you just had that personality and it just kind of found you. And I'm seeing now that there is a wave. And we've been waiting for this. We've been anticipating this. That's why this revolution, this lovolution that came, was not a surprise to many of us. And we put a lot in it to, you know, kind of spark it and help it go. But, you know, it was, our shock was that so many people were so shocked. And we're going, what the heck you think's been going on? So what do you see in this, the next stage of this? You know, I mean, really, you sit back, you know, you relax, you have a cocktail, you get your feet up, and you're contemplating amongst your friends, you know, and, you know, what the future's going to be. And you see the next wave being what? You know, how's it going to manifest? How's the economy going to affect these guys? What are they going to be doing? They're going to go galt? I mean, you know, what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what needs to happen most at this point is we need to keep growing. We're reaching that critical mass, but I don't know that we're quite there yet. I think we need to just keep doing as much outreach as possible. And then once we have enough people, we can basically, we have the power to do whatever we want to do. We can, you know, replace everybody in the government if we want to. We can, you know, kind of take over. We can all move to New Hampshire. We can, you know, there's a lot we can do. And I certainly don't know the answer, but I think the young people are starting to feel that something's wrong. And I think now is the time to kind of go out there and show them what's going on and, you know, bring them in. And once we have that, we'll have a really solid base. And then we can.
Well, let me ask you this one question. This is kind of a leading question, and your response will kind of tell me a little bit. You know, if you're still voting, you haven't been paying attention. If you think voting is going to make us free, then where you been the last decade? So I'm like, this revolution, do you really think it's political involvement? That's the tip of the spear. We have to start, because that's Campaign for Liberty's thing. I mean, we're going to go into the Republican Party instead of taking a wooden stake and a mallet and, being done with it. We're going to go in and take it over. We're going to participate in this system, and we're going to try and replace and fix it. Now, that is the stance of a lot of people. And I know Dr. Paul and his reasoning and everything that's going on. Everybody does their own thing. I'm just, is that where you're going to see the dramatic change?
I don't know, because I know that the system is the way it's set up, the incentive structure is all wrong, and it's pretty massively broken. But again, I think if enough of us are aware of what's going on, I think we can come up with a solution. And I don't know if it's going to be in the political system or if it's going to be by opting out of the political system. I don't know. But it's a good question, and it's something that I think about a lot.
Well, what has been the conversation amongst you and your peers? I mean, this is a very important thing to me. And my thing has always been this. It's real simple. How many minds can you free? There's those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. And, you get into politics, it's all about not leaving people alone. So I'm just kind of, I run for office all the time. I ran against John McCain for U.S. Senate in 2004. I run for Secretary of State. I run for Congress. I run. I just don't vote. But the thing is that I get the voice out there. We have fun with this. We give it all the seriousness it's due. And we were big supporters, of course, of Ron Paul's message. And this movement that's been created, and I just need to have an understanding. At what point? What is it that you're looking for before you start going? Really, do we have to go through all these? Because we saw what happened in the primary process with Dr. Paul, and are we thinking that it's going to be different this time? And how many election cycles do you got to go through before you start going, oh man, really? And we start doing something else, because it's about freeing minds. And if the first step to a free mind is plugging you back in the system, make you go vote, is that a step in the right direction? And when we started the revolution, the people that were funding this in the beginning, we all had dinner one evening. There's about a dozen of us, and we sat around and discussed that very subject. If we start this road, we knew it was going to happen. If we do this, we'll be doing more harm than good by giving some kind of legitimacy to this process. Should we just let it go without it? And we decided, as a group, unanimously, maybe a little dissent, but, that it would be a net benefit for us to go after this. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. As people were screaming, end the Fed, end the Fed, then all of a sudden now they're doing, audit the Fed? I don't want to audit it. I don't want to end it. But they see it as a mechanism for people to be educated. More people know what the Fed is. It's become a big issue, and it's a step towards that goal. But the thing is that you never want to lose what the real mission is. Freeing minds from tyranny, and you never use tyranny, to free minds. It never works that way. So with that kind of statement and my little rhetoric there, I'd like to get you to comment on it.
Well, I mean, what do you see as the alternative kind of revolution?
No, I think what's happening now is healthy. It's good as long as we have the right perspective. Because what happens always is that, and we'll have this gentleman, Chris Simcox from the Minutemen coming in, and they built up this big issue around immigration and all this stuff and everything. And now, you know, we want the ring of power. Put us behind the lever. We'll fix it. And they never really look at the problem was the lever. It was the ring. It was this welfare warfare state. You know, it's just if we are in charge and we'll fix it. And I don't want this revolution, this next wave, this next generation to think that as long as they have the power to rule people, they'll rule them nicely. And, you know, where's the vote that I get to have that I want to be ruled?
Right, right. That's a good point. And, you know, the people with the Free State Project are, you know, kind of working on a different plan to see if they can get New Hampshire to be free. And I think that's a great plan. And you know, another part of it is, I don't know, there are just so many people out there that don't get it and that have learned to be dependent on the system. And I don't know what the best way is, how to break that cycle. And especially with the way things are going today, you know, with the health, socialized medicine and everything that,
I think what you're doing is having an enormous impact. People just, you know, getting access, you know, through the social networking, freedom, everything that you're doing, I don't have a problem with whatsoever. New Hampshire's a perfect example, though. In Keene, they're kind of the anarchist, you know, libertarian, you know, we're not playing, we withdraw our consent. In Manchester, anybody that wanted to be, you know, we want to be in charge of the lever, they went there and they want to play politics. In northern New Hampshire is all the, you know, just leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it, you know. So the Free State Project was, I spent a lot of time there during the revolution, and it was very interesting. You had Keene, anarchist, we don't want to play. Manchester, we want to play. We're going to be, you know, the ones with the ring, and we'll rule you good. And then we have guys in northern New Hampshire, just leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it. So, you know, there is a long, you know, just a graph that takes into account all these different perspectives, and I'm glad you're there because you're out in front. Shelley Roche here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Drew Phillips in the studio, Jet Lacey on the board, and we'll be back in just a little bit with some more from Shelley, because I'm telling you, you know, she's going to be in the front of this revolution, and we need to make sure she gets the support she needs to be effective in how many minds she can free. We'll talk to Shelley a little bit more when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, each and every morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. You're broadcasting from the beautiful Freedoms Phoenix.com studios here in lovely Phoenix, Arizona. Now, Shelley, I this has been a great conversation. I feel so much better that we got to share on this because, you know, this is the beginning. This is not the end. The people, when we started this revolution thing, Ron Paul's message got out there and showed just how much support there was. Everybody was wondering, where are the youth? Where are the youth? Where are the youth? Well, they were tired of being lied to. They didn't want to play. They didn't want to participate in this crap. They knew better. And now they have people like you and Drew to be able to just kind of guide them into the information that is available to them. And that's really what you're doing. You're kind of a guide. I don't think, you know, this is kind of a leaderless movement, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, thousands of people doing one or two things, you know, every day. And certain things appeal to some people and other things appeal to other people, and that's how we grow.
Well, Shelley, I wanted to just real quick, because we're running out of time, what was something you could give to advice you give to people to jump into this social networking thing and to just try it? And if they don't like it, they don't like it. But Facebook and Twitter and maybe something else like Ning you were talking about, what would you say to somebody just to encourage them just to try to get out whatever it is about the freedom message that resonates with them?
Yeah, definitely. Twitter is a great way to send out links of information and to find other people, other sources of information to keep informed. Facebook is great. And just, you know, go out and search for people within Twitter and within Facebook that have similar interests and follow them. And then you'll kind of get the hang of it. So, you know, go sign up to Twitter, do a search for freedom or for liberty, or, you know, follow Fee for Liberty, which is Campaign for Liberty, or Freedom's Phoenix.
And what happened to MySpace? You know, Rupert Murdoch bought it for $580-something million, and it just went away.
And he killed it.
Well, what happened?
Exactly. MySpace is old news.
Well, I mean, was it because, you know, Rupert Murdoch went in there and tried to play?
It could be. I think it's, you know, these new tools were kind of cooler, and people kind of move on to the newest, coolest thing, and who knows what it'll be 2 years from now. But right now, I think a lot of the critical mass of people is congregated at Twitter and Facebook.
Why Twitter? I don't get it. It's 140 characters.
I know. A lot of people don't get it. And the only thing I can say is, you know, you have to kind of try it.
No, Drew's dragging me, man. He's dragging me. He's like putting it on my BlackBerry. Here, tweet. You know, do it right now on the air. Last Tuesday, I did my first tweet. He's very proud of me.
Yeah, just, you know, do a couple tweets a day. You get your listeners to tweet into you with questions. And
yeah, but then I have to go look. I got enough crap to look at.
I'll ask. Shelley, how many different ways do you tweet? What did you use other client software, your cell phone? How many ways do you tweet?
Oh, well, I use Uber Twitter on my BlackBerry, and I mostly use the website on my laptop because you know, having it pop up all the time is distracting, and I try to follow back the people who follow me, so I get like a million, you know, tweets a minute. I also like TweetDeck.
So when you're on Freedom Watch and you're sitting there looking at your laptop, what are you looking at?
I use TweetGrid, which is a website, and you can just put in search terms in different columns, and it'll bring up anyone that replies to me with a question or anyone that is talking about Freedom Watch, or, you know, so I can kind of see instantaneously what people are talking about.
Ah, so you can kind of limit what's coming, you know, what you're looking at.
Go ahead.
Real quick, can you explain a hashtag to me? Well, we're out of time. Go ahead.
Hey, you got a Neville and Wood version
of
hashtag?
There's too much. There's too much in the Twitter universe.
Shelley, yeah. This is great to spend time with you. And I know you're a rising star. And we're so glad that, you know, you remember the little people. And so we're so happy for you. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And we'll do what we can to give you the support you need to be effective. Thanks, Shelley. We'll see you tomorrow and declare your independence.